Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and we would like to hear from you. I'd like you to be a part of today's broadcast, and you can do that by calling right now, 844-322-2742, whether you live in the U.S. or Canada. If you have a Bible question or a personal issue, a family issue you'd like to discuss, a great opportunity to call and speak directly with us right now. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Call now, everybody, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew, glad you're with us again today.
Hey, great to be with you.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a fun broadcast today as we talk about some warning verses out of the Bible. Philippians chapter 3 has a major warning passage. Paul starts chapter 3 with this encouragement to all of us to rejoice in the Lord. And we have lots of things to rejoice about being in Christ, and we talked about that yesterday. But then immediately following, he says, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. And he's talking about basically teachers of the law. He's talking about the lies and errors that are out there in the world. He's talking about religious lies as well. And so, Andrew, I thought I would just pose this question to you. What are some of the major lies and errors that confront believers today that are trying to trip them up and to rob them of the freedom and joy that they really have and can have in Jesus Christ?
Well, first, when it comes to just being saved, I would say there's a lot of errors out there. Jesus plus water baptism saves you. That's a lie. Paul said, God did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And he even says, I thank God that I did not baptize many of you because they were arguing over baptism and arguing over who baptized them and who had the better baptism. And that became a status symbol, Bob, where 2,000 years ago, the Corinthians were really making water baptism into something that God never intended. And then today, we can do the very same thing. And this is much like circumcision. I mean, 2,000 years ago, it was Jesus plus circumcision, Jesus plus some sort of physical act to get right with God. And then you fast forward to now, and we're still adding to the finished work of Christ. We're saying Jesus plus a physical act in a swimming pool is going to make you right with God. So I would say we've got Jesus plus baptism, we've got Jesus plus Sabbath keeping, we've got Jesus plus tithing, and we're just getting started there. I mean, then there's a whole branch of theology where we're supposed to be distracted, apparently, focusing on getting healthy and getting wealthy. And if you just become a Christian, then that is your pipeline to perfect health and your pipeline to perfect wealth. And that, too, is a lie. I mean, Paul says that anyone who thinks that godliness is a means to financial gain is of depraved mind. And Paul himself had physical ailments. He thanked the early church for taking care of him in his illness. Timothy had frequent stomach ailments. So it's pretty clear that we live in a fallen world, and we shouldn't be distracted by these heresies and errors that get us focused on perfect health or perfect wealth. And then lastly, I would say, Bob, one that is really permeating with a wave of deceit is the idea that you don't have to make a decision for Christ, that if you are a human being on this planet, that you're in Christ already just by virtue of being alive. And so therefore, maybe you're saved, you just don't realize it. Maybe you're saved, you just didn't know it. So all you need is knowledge. And that's a common deception today. The scripture says that we need to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, and that we shouldn't harden our hearts against the gospel, and that if we're not in Christ, then we're a child of wrath, we're in Adam, we're dead, we need life. And so, you know, it's just absolute error to be telling people that they're alive in Christ, but they just don't know it, or that the whole world is saved, they just don't realize it. That goes against dozens and dozens of passages in the New Testament that talk about the importance of faith and calling upon Jesus as our Savior.
Absolutely. And that comes in two forms. There's universalism, so that's out there. I remember a guy that he and I put together a conference years ago, and we had four amazing speakers that we got involved in this deal, had over 1,000 people that came, and we just had a great time putting that on. And then about a month later, he's telling me that he believes everybody's saved. He's just off into universalism and had his passages of scripture that he constantly brought up and talked through, but his point, everybody's saved. Christ has reconciled the whole world. And then there's a milder brand of that, inclusionism, and those are very dangerous doctrines, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And if you haven't even heard of some of this, well, congratulations, you've dodged a bullet.
Yes, indeed.
You don't need to worry about any of that if you haven't heard of it. But for those who've been trapped in it, those who've been mired in it, you need to know that anytime somebody's pulling out a bunch of new terminology, telling you that the whole world is objectively saved but not subjectively saved, and oh, there's this thing called objective reality and then subjective experience, and anytime we try to superimpose all of that nonsense on the Bible, that's a red flag right there, Bob. I mean, my goodness, we've had Paul, Peter, James, and John, some very well-equipped apostles who have given us all these New Testament letters, and not one single time do they even hint at us needing to look at things through this lens of subjective and objective. And anytime you're dancing around with academic terminology and mental gymnastics to try to explain the gospel, I think you got to go back and say, wait a minute now, the fishermen left their jobs to go follow Jesus and be transformed by him and then turn the world upside down with powerful teaching, and they didn't need any of that extra biblical terminology to get it done.
No, they didn't. And it goes back to verse 1 of Philippians 3, rejoice in the Lord. And if you're going to rejoice in the Lord, you're going to have to rejoice in the Lord in spite of hearing all of these lies and errors. I mean, if you go to any Christian circles or involved in fellowship groups or churches or whatever it might be, you're going to encounter a lot of these errors. And if you aren't grounded in what Christ has done, the simplicity of the message, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're going to be tossed to and fro and become unstable, double-minded, and wonder, you know, is there something more? Am I missing out? No, if you have Christ, you have everything. If you have Christ, there's nothing more that you need. You have been given everything for life and godliness. So rejoice in that. And when you hear these errors, hear these lies, you'll be able to discern that they truly are errors and lies. And you can just reject them and continue to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We'd love for you to be a part of today's broadcast. You can do that by calling directly right now, 844-322-2742. That is good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Friends, mid-October, Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley are going to team up to bring you an exciting Bible conference called United. Now, these two connected ministries, Basic Gospel and The Grace Message, will join to bring you a pure and powerful message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Information is available and registration is open now for United, October 15th through the 17th, right here in our ministry hometown of Lewisville, Texas. Again, visit basicgospel.net/united and join us for this very, very special event. Again, all the information available at basicgospel.net/united.
Yes, indeed. And Andrew, we are praying that hundreds, yea, thousands of people will come and be a part of that with us to really get the full picture of what this gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. You know, folks can listen to a radio broadcast like this. I mean, they can hear a sermon and they're getting some nuggets of truth, but a conference like this really puts it all together. So folks can see the real picture. They can see where they kind of fit into the body of Christ and how they stand united, not only with Jesus, but with every other believer. And it's just going to be an exciting time.
Yeah. You know, if you've ever thought about how can I find like-minded believers? How can I get to know other Christians who see the new covenant and see God's grace the way I do? Well, this is an event where you can connect with people from all over the United States and Canada and beyond for this special event. If you've been following Basic Gospel for a week, a month, a year, or longer, maybe a few years, and we experienced COVID, and it's been a while since you've been hanging out with friends and doing events, well, this is a great way to recharge and relax and get to know the love and grace of God. So I'm excited about it, guys. It's going to be fun.
Yes, it is. It's going to be a lot of fun. Well, Andrew, let's go to our phone lines. We're going to go to Monticello, New York, and talk to Frida. Hi, Frida.
Hey, Frida.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
We're doing great.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Okay, so I'm sorry. I don't, no matter how many I call, I just still get so nervous because I feel like I'm going to mess up. So, but I'm sorry. So I wrote something down that contained some questions that a lady from IB asked me, so I kind of want to get your guys' opinion on it. So it says, in a Bible study I used to attend, one of the ladies, the leader of the group, is big on asking for forgiveness. Even though I provided the leader of the group with numerous scriptures that believers being completely forgiven through the one-time offering that Jesus provided, she proclaims that she knows she's forgiven, but she asks for forgiveness because she believes asking for it, it keeps the door of fellowship open and allows restoration to happen. She also stated that asking for forgiveness maintains her closeness to Christ and it makes her feel better. When I told her Christ can't get any closer to us than living in us, she said she knows that Christ lives, but that doesn't mean we always live in Christ. And when I gave her the illustration of chocolate syrup being mixed into milk, and once they become one, as the spirit becomes one with us, it can't be separated, her response was, yeah, but it doesn't mean that the milk can't go spoiled. I don't know if she was implying that our sin can go our relationship with Christ, but if we go spoiled on our part and Christ has become one spirit with us, wouldn't that say his spirit will become spoiled too? And concerning forgiveness, how can you know you're forgiven but still think you need forgiveness? It's like saying, I'm forgiven, but I need forgiveness, so Lord, why are we asking daily for something that we eternally possess? To me, this is like being fully cured of cancer, but still going to receive chemo treatment. Why is the chemo treatment, the forgiveness, still needed if the cure, the blood of Jesus, was given in? When I proceeded to ask her, can we have forgiveness without blood? And where does it say under the new covenant of that believers are to ask for forgiveness, she replied by saying she did a study, and nowhere in Scripture is she told that she can't ask for it. So basically her defense was, because the Bible doesn't specifically say that she can't ask for it, that it doesn't mean that it's not right. I was so confused by this statement. She then asked me if I felt that by her asking for forgiveness, was this in the blood of Jesus? I told her I felt like she was disregarding the finished work of the cross and minimizing what Jesus had accomplished. I told her I felt like she was not fully appreciating Jesus' one-time sufficient sacrifice and treating his blood like that of bulls and goats. and this is where I need your guys' help with. How would you guys respond to this question that she had asked me? She asked me, how can I put so much emphasis on saying that business is wrong and not biblical, and that it disregards / insults the blood of Jesus, but I do feel that strongly about other sins that I commit that are wrong against God and also insults the blood of Jesus? She asked me, why is it wrong for her to ask for forgiveness, but it's still okay for me to sin against God with the wrong things that I do? Okay. I did not.
Well, let's jump in there, Frieda.
Frieda, I think we got it. I think we got the gist of it. My goodness, that's
that's
okay. That's a mouthful of five or six different issues that I think we need to try to do our best to address here, Frieda. Thank you. It's an awesome topic. It's definitely in our wheelhouse. It's something that we talk about every day. So I think we can probably work backwards here. Do two wrongs make a right? Do three wrongs make a right? If insulting Jesus is what happens when we're trying to get more forgiveness, then should we just go ahead and insult him because we're not worried about other sins? I mean, that logic that your friend is using there, why not just go ahead and insult Jesus is what she's saying. Why not go ahead and just keep asking for what we've already got? And she's saying, Frieda, you should be more concerned about other sins too. Well, that implies that this is a sin. It's a sin to insult Christ. And the bottom line is, look, we don't need to be running around saying, am I insulting? Am I insulting? What we need to do is fix our eyes on the cross and say, did it work? Was the cross effective? Did Jesus take my sins away, or did he take my sins away? And that's the reality. I mean, to say nowhere in the Bible does it say we can't ask for forgiveness. Well, I mean, we could play that game all day long. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we can't ask for Jesus to please come back after he left. I mean, we could make up stuff where there's the absence of this and the absence of that in the Bible. But at the end of the day, that's not proof of anything. I mean, the Bible doesn't address the speed limit directly. It doesn't address drug usage directly. I mean, what we have to do is put our thinking caps on here and say, now, if I'm in Christ and he's taken away my sins and I'm not asking him if I can go to heaven every day because he's already promised heaven, and if I'm not asking him for eternal life every day because he's already given me eternal life, then why am I asking him for forgiveness when he says he's already forgiven my sins? He remembers them no more. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. He keeps no record of my wrongs. And Hebrews 10:14 says that we've been made perfect by one offering. We've been made perfect for all time. So your friend, I don't know how to put it any other way, but your friend is... It almost sounds like they're looking for an excuse to be miserable because, they're saying, well, Christ lives in me, but I don't always live in Christ. Well, that's false. If you don't abide or live in Christ, then you're like a branch that is burned. But wait a minute, Christians aren't burned. We do live in Christ. And, if anyone does not live in Christ, then they're not a new creation. So the idea that you live in Christ on Monday and then you don't live in Christ on Tuesday, none of that is found in the Bible. And, somebody says, well, I just want to keep asking for forgiveness because it makes me feel better. Well, what if the blood of Christ made you feel better? What if you could feel better because of the cross? What if you could feel better because of the blood of Jesus? And, somebody says, well, it just keeps the door of fellowship open for me. Well, no, it doesn't. That's not true either. We can make up stuff all day long if we want. But when you study the word fellowship in the New Testament, here's what you find. We have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 13. We see the fellowship of the Spirit described in Philippians. This is something that we have, not something that we're getting. 1 John clearly says anybody who doesn't really have fellowship, they're not even a believer. And so if you're in Christ, you have fellowship with God. There's no single passage that talks about a believer going in and out of fellowship. I think if you're wanting to continue that conversation with her, you should do a study of fellowship together and just ask her, where does it say that I'm going in and out of fellowship with God? It's not there. So the bottom line is, look, we've got something staring us in the face, don't we? When we peruse the books of Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, there's something that is absent from every New Testament letter, and that is, if there were some sort of formula for you to get more forgiveness and more cleansing every day, then Paul would have told somebody. He would have told somebody. Peter, James, and John would have told the early church, hey, you got to be asking every day, every hour, every sin. But the truth is, we have total forgiveness, not partial, and what Jesus did is greater than the blood of bulls and goats. So, guys, I think at the end of the day, we got to say we're forgiven people. We have permanent fellowship. We are one spirit with the Lord, as close as we can be. We're always living in Christ, and we don't need to be asking for what we've already got in Him.
Yes, indeed. You know, Andrew, we live in such a society, such a culture, such a world where feelings are more important than truth, and that's exactly what Frieda's friend was saying. This makes me feel better when I ask for forgiveness, and her feelings are more important than the truth concerning the blood of Jesus Christ. And then the second thing that I see with a lot of people saying, I want to ask for forgiveness, they're asking, not expecting an answer. If they're truly expecting an answer, they're going to hear a really clear answer from the Lord, from the Word of God. Your sin is already forgiven. The blood has already been shed. It has already been poured out. There is nothing that you can do except to say thank you for the forgiveness that you already have in Christ. So we just get so caught up in religious ritual and feeling that we miss the truth. And that's one of the things that Paul was warning us about in that passage that we started this broadcast with. Look out for the dogs. Look out for those people that are trying to suck you into a feelings-based relationship with the Lord and just a ritual, a formula. Watch out for that, because that's going to rob you of the joy that you have in Christ Jesus. So don't buy into those errors. And Frieda keeps fighting for the truth. Keep standing up and saying, hey, Jesus did it all. Let's rest in that. If we're going to walk by faith, and that's what this Christian life is all about, it's about walking by faith, then we're going to have to come to that point and say, Lord, I am trusting that you took away all of my sins once and for all, and that I am a forgiven person, that I am righteous in your sight.
Frieda, good to hear from you. I hope that helps, and keep listening and call again. And don't worry about being nervous when you call. Hey, I'm there with you every day. Been doing it for 40 years, so nobody's kicked me off yet. So we love hearing from you. Guys, very quickly, a Florida listener would like to know how to handle family members who've always put him down. He says, I pray for them, of course, and forgive them before the devil can get a foothold. They are unbelievers, and it hurts because they are my grandparents. Any suggestions?
Well, our heart goes out to you. It's no fun to be insulted, no fun to be insulted by family members, but I think you're on the right road. You know, the Lord is inspiring you to forgive and release them from any pain they've caused you. You've got an innate love in Jesus for them. So I don't know that you need to be doing something different. You wish they would act differently, but you can only control your response, my friend. And so I encourage you, keep on that road of forgiveness and canceling their debt. Man, that's the attitude. That's where it's at.
Yeah, and I will just add this one thing. Every time they put you down, let that be an opportunity for you to say, Lord, thank you that you have made me a child of God, and I'm going to rejoice in that truth.
Absolutely. Great advice, guys. And friends, thank you for being with us for Basic Gospel today, and thanks to all of you who stepped up at the close of our fiscal year to push Basic Gospel over the top. And we could not be more thankful to each one of you who made that possible with your gifts of love for this message of grace and the Lord Jesus Christ and for this ministry called Basic Gospel. If you're new to Basic Gospel and if what you hear each day has found a place in your life, we ask you to stand up with us also and support this ministry and this message. We would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel, and you can do that at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.